optimizing it, but they're going too slow because everyone is very cautious. He also explained, obviously, they don't want to accelerate it too much. I think they're also just trying to do it as an exploratory thing, because you obviously don't want to advertise that you are figuring out future mutations. Pfizer's statement makes no mention of the supposed plan to infect monkeys, instead explaining that any work on live viruses is carried out in vitro, meaning inside test tubes or other lab equipment. Walker was told on camera that he was speaking to a journalist with Project Veritas, a conservative outlet known for its hidden camera sting operations. After hearing this, Walker insisted that he was lying to impress people before attempting to steal an iPad from Project Veritas CEO James O'Keefe. Global Times also had an eye on this issue, writing an undercover video featuring an allegedly Pfizer executive bragging about how his company was exploring intentionally mutating COVID strains to profit from future mRNA vaccines, as exploded across social media recently. In the video, Jordan Tristan Walker, described as Pfizer Director of Research and Development Strategic Operations and mRNA Scientific Planning, claims that his company is exploring a way to mutate COVID via directed evolution to preempt the development of future vaccines. The man told the Project Veritas journalist about Pfizer's plan for COVID vaccines, while acknowledging that people would not like this information if it went public. Pfizer recently issued a statement in response, saying, in the ongoing development of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, Pfizer has not conducted gain-of-function or directed evolution research, but it added, in a limited number of cases, when a full virus does not contain any known gain-of-function mutations, such virus may be engineered to enable the assessment of antiviral activity in cells. The video has sparked wide public concern, with over 41.2 million views on Twitter alone. Walker also bluntly said in the video that COVID is going to be a cash cow for Pfizer for a while going forward. Is Pfizer really manipulating COVID-19 for profits, and does it in secret? How far has the research gone? What risks will it bring? The public naturally has many questions and demand answers. However, most of the U.S. and Western mainstream media outlets and U.S. politicians have collectively kept mum on the issue revealed in the video. This is quite abnormal in the American public opinion field, known for its diversity. The authenticity of this video has yet to be confirmed. In the face of public doubts, shouldn't the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, lawmakers, and the media conduct further investigations and give the public an explanation? Till now, the vast majority of U.S. media outlets and politicians are ignoring it. This is in stark contrast to their keenness to hype the odds of new COVID mutations after China optimized its COVID policies. On the issue concerning a big U.S. pharmaceutical company, it seems American media outlets are all much more professional and rational. They are quite prudent to make any conclusion. if an undercover video of similar kind was exposed, for example, in China, there is no doubt that the Chinese public and officials would take it very seriously. Not only the company involved must give a detailed explanation, relevant authorities will quickly conduct an investigation to find the truth. Tucker Carlson, host of Fox News, was a rarity among U.S. media persons on this issue as he touched upon the topic. In this country, drug companies spend more on lobbying the Congress than any other industry, a lot more than any other industry, and they don't do it by accident. They do it because it pays off, Tucker said. According to data from Pfizer, more than 4.3 billion Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccines were shipped to 181 countries across the world by late of 2022. Not long ago, Alberto Burla, chief executive officer of Pfizer, encountered a series of tough questions from a journalist about the efficacy of its COVID-19 vaccine on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum meeting. A Chinese expert who requires anonymity told the Global Times, "Western media doesn't speak for truth, but is profits-oriented," adding, "Everyone knows that major American pharmaceutical companies and capital-controlled mainstream media are inextricably linked by interest. The silence of many media outlets in the face of the video once again reflects the hypocrisy of U.S. media."
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Dear ladies, welcome to another episode of your own program. This is Muslim Lady. You're hearing us from IRIB English Radio. I am very much happy to be here at your service. This is Asma. And once more, I have the pleasure to be with Sister Zainab to help us with today's topic. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure to be here and discuss with you the lifestyle of Lady Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha, because I honestly am learning too much from whatever you're saying in here. Well, we are covering her lifestyle, and now we're at the point of how she treated her husband. You told us that she had different ways of expressing her love. It's not always about nicknames or whatever like this that we have it in nowadays life, in modern life. We see too much of these things. But it's not always like this. Sometimes you can show it with a certain behavior, a certain support that you give to your partner. I'm pretty sure there's still so much more to learn.
Indeed, every part of our life has a great lesson for us. Though we have very less reports from her, but still, the amount of things that we have are in itself a great lesson for us. So, yeah, we were talking about her attitude towards her husband, and we said that she would express her love one or the other way. It was not always just by words. Whenever she saw him upset or sad, she would express her sympathy and she would pray for him. All this shows that she had different expressions of love towards her husband. Then a very important part of husband and wife's life, where a woman plays a major role and which should be a lesson for each Muslim woman out there, is the part of adjustments that we learn from her life. We should prefer to be more adjusting rather than having a demanding nature, because women are often like, you know, they have this demanding nature, be that in a father's house. And when she comes to her husband's house, her demands get double fold or triple fold. Or
you should definitely take care of the next person.
Exactly.
And we would inshallah discuss that, how she managed to be adjusting women rather than being more demanding.
Yeah. So let's go listen for something and then we'll listen to the rest of what you're going to tell us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. This is Muslim Lady. Sister Zainab in here is telling us a lot about how Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha, the role model of every single one of us, has treated her husband, and we're actually learning too much from her. You said that we shouldn't be demanding.
Yeah, we should have this adjusting nature. See, Lady Fatima Zahra salam alayhi herself was the daughter of Prophet, peace be upon him, who is called as a Rahmatan lil Alameen, who is a mercy of all the worlds, and not just this world. So she's the daughter of, she would consider herself, oh, I'm the queen
exactly.
of the world, and I should be more demanding and all. But we see the more patience, more adjustments in her life than in any other woman in the history. You know, there's one incident when Imam Ali alayhi salam comes home and tells her, De Fatma, do we have something to eat? And she tells Imam Ali alayhi salam, I swear that it's been a couple of days that we don't have anything. And he gets surprised and tells her, why didn't you tell me? And she says that I feel shy to tell you. And my father has actually taught me not to demand something from you that you cannot
afford it.
Yeah, exactly. That you can't afford. So
just imagining what has happened to us, you know, we're way too far away from what she has been.
Indeed, we are. So we never think. See, for example, we just had, it's not just even been a month that we had a Women's Day, and then, you know, demands begin, and there's some woman who tells men that, go and die, I don't know where you're going to get me gift from, but you have to get me the gift. I don't know, but it's my day, so I need some gifts. No.
And if not that, then they wouldn't, and if in the best way possible they do not say that, then they would stay silent and maybe they would get angry, or they wouldn't show it, but they would have some grudge against their partner.
So even if women today don't show the anger, they actually put it inside.
Exactly.
And it comes out at a blast at a time, or it comes out at a blast in instances. So yeah, it's all been a process of demanding that we have a demanding nature today, but we are definitely, as you mentioned, we are very, very, very far away from her. See, which woman tells today, and she says that I feel shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
As for myself, as an ordinary woman, I would say, okay, this is my need and I have to answer that. If I need something, then I would expect that from my partner. Then I would never say that I would feel shy from Allah. You know, it doesn't come at the very first point. It doesn't come to your mind.
Because unfortunately, Allah has gone so far away from our lives. We have actually pushed Allah so back. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in Surah Adiyat, that when he swears upon different things, he says that in al-insana lirabbihi likanud, which means that indeed you mankind, you're so, so ungrateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because like the fast moving horses, like those fast stamping horses, you go towards dunya, you go towards the material things. And actually that fastness, that passion, that thing, I kept you within it. I have given you this thing. But I gave you this thing because I wanted you to be passionate towards me.
Yeah.
I was your ultimate khair. I was your ultimate, you know, he says khair
shadid. The source of blessing.
In the, for the verses, you know. So which means khair shadid, which means anything that you see as your good, you move very fast towards it, very passionate towards it. But, you know, it's because you used the same passion that I kept within you against me. You are, you know, moving opposite to me. But see the life of Lady Fatima Zahra salam alayha. Even in her demands, she says, I feel shy to ask Imam Ali. Do we even think of that? We tell our husbands, I don't care where you bring from. I just need it. And we think that it's his responsibility. Indeed, it is his responsibility. But have a look at his pockets.
Exactly.
Have a look at his, you know,
and we should also have this into our notice that even some lives get destroyed because a man cannot afford the needs of a woman.
Exactly.
So I guess in this modern life, we've been melted in this speed and in all this business that we have around us, in all these hustles and bustles, that we've forgotten about the main concern of humanity. Specifically, as a woman, I would say the special characteristics of a true lady to her family, to her husband, and whatever. So let's go for a short break and then we'll consider our topic. Muslim ladies, we're talking about something which is of everyone's interest, that is love and the behavior of a woman with her husband and how they should express their feelings, their love toward their partner. And we got to the point that we shouldn't be demanding, and we learned plenty much of things actually. And also we got to the point that we're demanding enough not to even care about what we have been created for. Sometimes we even forget how to be loyal and true to the Lord himself, to Allah himself. We even cross that border and we do not notice how demanding we have been.
Exactly. Sometimes not just we don't even demand, but our behavior shows something that we need it. Just go and I just want it. I remember I was learning the driving course from a woman. It was the practicals time. And then since we used to drive for 2 hours, we had a lot of time to talk. This woman was working because she had lost her husband because of cancer.
Wow.
And then I would try to sympathize her and I would try to talk to her more. And then I asked her once that, what is the best day that you remember in your life? And she says that when my husband was dying from chemotherapies and doctors had avoided him not to go into the sunlight, not to go out. One day he says that, I just want to go out and walk a few steps and I'll feel better. And his wife says that, are you sure? He says, yeah, I'm sure. And the man goes and he buys a gold ring for his wife with the money of his chemotherapy and all. And then
he
gets it as a gift for her and tells her that, you have been the ultimate support. You have been on my back all the time. You have taken me to doctors for chemotherapies and all. How long will I go for these therapies? But I want something that you should be, you know.
So romantic.
It was so, so beautiful.
Selfless and so kind and so manly.
And she showed me the ring. She was wearing the same ring. And she says that I never forget this day in my life that he was advised not to go in the exposed sun. But he still went out for me and expressed his love and, you know, care. So sometimes even when you are not demanding, you stand at the back of your husband, you never know. You get something that you don't even expect. And when you get things when you don't expect, you feel much better. You feel much happier because this woman, I told her, which is the best day of your life. And she mentioned the same day, the way she did not expect and the way her husband went out in that when he was advised not to go out. And then in that condition, he gets her some gifts.
Sister, you know what I would say? I would say that we all are human beings. There's no way that I treat someone in a good manner and then not to have reflection from that person. So just imagine what happens in a life, what happens among the couples. They're living together, and if they try to treat each other in a very humanistic way, then I guess even if they do not say, then they would know the demand of each other. And since there's love between them and mutual understanding, I guess then they would answer each other's needs. So there's no need for being demanding, or there's no need for being so straight toward whatever you want as the physical things. Sometimes you just let go things and be your true self, honest and so supportive, and then everything would happen by itself.
You know, even the psychology says that if you do good, you will see good. Or we have this saying, as you sow, so shall you reap.
Yeah.
So definitely.
What goes around comes around.
Exactly. So, you know, the one thing's said in different forms, but... You know, actually, if you sow honesty, if you sow goodness, if
exactly.
you...
Exactly.
I was just going through a video a couple of days ago, and a man was asking a lady who was some in her 80s, in the ending 80s, and he told, how old are you? She said, I don't know, I'm some 87 or 88.
Mm-hmm.
And he told, what is your advice for today's women? It's a must listen for the Muslim ladies. She says that, I'm 87. He said, if you go back to time, what would you like to change? So it's very interesting to ask an old person, if you go back to time, what would you like to change? She says that, I would like to go to my 20s, wherein I was concerned what people think of my hair, what people think of my clothes, what people think of my face, how do I look like? She said, I would change all that because nobody thinks nothing.
Exactly.
She says the waste
of... That's the moral of life.
Exactly. She says that is the waste of time, it's a waste of money, and it's waste of everything.
Waste of energy, waste of youth.
Waste of your mind, because you're always thinking in the state of thinking, what others think of you. No, dear women, others do not have that much time that they will always keep on thinking about you or commenting about you. No. And he says to her, what would you like to change it with? And she says, kindness and goodness.
Yeah.
I would like to change all those things that I had been keeping on thinking, what people think about my hair and my clothes and my face. I would like to do more good. I would like to be more kind, because kindness and goodness is something that I will definitely do and that I have definitely has been with me throughout my life. And I have seen the best rewards for it.
Yeah, that is very true. So, sister, as usual, you have shared with us some plenty much of beautiful stuff to learn about the lifestyle of our role model, Lady Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha, And thank you, sister. And thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. All the Muslim ladies out there, I wish you health and happiness and prosperity. Until another episode, I just say farewell to you all. May Allah preserve you with His never-sleeping eyes. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a short but sweet statement from the Holy Prophet's ninth infallible successor, Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him. Three features cause love: being fair in association, comforting in misfortunes, and having a good heart.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you. With the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979, the United States of America lost control of what Jimmy Carter once described as an island of stability in one of the more troubled areas of the world. Under the leadership of Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ruhollah Khomeini, the Iranian nation had fought an uphill battle in ousting the pro-West Shah. They were longing for a country with national sovereignty, a country with the greatest degree of self-determination, free from the yoke of the Eastern and the Western blocs. The so-called island of stability had been rocked by a revolution that had zero tolerance for foreign interference activities. And that was not what the Americans and other great powers of the time expected, and hence the enmity towards Iran began. Separatism, especially in the country's border areas, was among the immediate challenges the newly established republic was faced with. Just one day after the victory of the revolution, separatists in Iran's Kurdistan and Azerbaijan revolted against the government. Meanwhile, a bloody assassination campaign was launched by the Mujahideen-e Khalq organization, MKO, a terrorist group that took the lives of over 12,000 Iranian citizens. The terrorist cult also targeted a great number of Iran's senior officials with the ultimate aim of taking power in the country. Although the aim was naive, it stripped the country of figures who could play significant roles in the future of the republic. Terrorist acts were later committed by other enemies of Iran, especially the Israeli regime, in its desperate attempt to hamper the country's peaceful nuclear program. In April 1980, almost a year after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the U.S. Armed Forces carried out Operation Eagle Claw. But the mission was aborted as the American helicopters were caught in a sandstorm in Tabaz in the east of Iran.
Oh, it's, a significant reminder for United States and other countries that are thinking about attacking Iran that it's not going to be that easy. Iran now is much more powerful in terms of its military and in terms of its defense.
A few months later, in yet another abortive attempt known as the Nojeh coup d'etat, the country's enemies were trying to overthrow the newly established Islamic Republic of Iran, this time with the help of the traitorous members of the Air Force loyal to the dethroned Shah.
I think looking back on it, it was quite pathetic. You know, it was very badly organized and really it was half-hearted. It was making certain assumptions which wasn't going to come true. But nevertheless, it was quite testing for the newly formed government.
With two failed attempts, the Americans and their allies tried to restore their trampled pride, this time by encouraging an ambitious Iraqi dictator, namely Saddam Hussein, who launched an 8-year war against Iran. From the very beginning, riots, coup attempts, assassinations, and military actions were all coupled with monetary pressure on Tehran. For instance, in November 1979, through Executive Order 12170, Carter froze about 8.1 billion U.S. dollars in Iranian assets, including bank deposits, gold, and other properties. The practice has continued since then.
For people who say these are just symbolic, that's not the case at all. We've literally locked up tens and tens of billions of dollars. These sanctions will come along with additional entities where people are hiding money. So no, these sanctions are highly effective.
These so-called highly effective sanctions are also known in Iran by yet another name, economic terrorism, as they have indiscriminately been targeting the whole nation.
People are also subjected to the most brutal form of economic terrorism, deliberately targeting innocent civilians to achieve illegitimate political objectives. The unlawful extraterritorial economic sanctions imposed on Iran by the United States in violation of Security Council Resolution 2231 represent the greatest threat to the achievement of sustainable development goals of Iran and many of our neighbors.
In just one case, U.S. unilateral sanctions have prevented EB children in Iran from having special wound dressings, resulting in their silence and slow deaths.
Since May 2018, that the U.S. unilaterally withdrew from the JCPOA, up to May 2019, a number of children suffering from EB died only because they did not have Mepilex dressings. I want to tell those who claim to be defenders of human rights what has been the crime of this 37-day-old baby who died of the disease only because we did not have Mepilex dressings as a result of the U.S. sanctions.
Last but not least, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been the innocent victim of a politically motivated smear campaign spearheaded by Washington. Through their ugly, distorted lens, the Americans have been seeking to show Iran as a rogue state and a sponsor of terrorism, which is after nuclear bombs and wherein human rights have no place. Since 1979, the Islamic Republic of Iran has been faced with unending challenges and threats coming from outside. To the dismay of the country's enemies, all these subversive activities have only made Iran a stronger nation, a blow that does not break your back, only makes it stronger.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, salam. And welcome to this episode of today's special under the topic of the moral conduct of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Be with us.
قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا رغي.
Today, Thursday, is the 11th of Rajab, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of February, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. for blessing this moment. We'll listen to chapter 4 of the Holy Quran, verse 59.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u ar-rasul wa ulil amri minkum. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا.
O you who have believed, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority among you. And if you disagree over anything, refer it to Allah and the Messenger, if you should believe in Allah and the Last Day. That is the best way and best in result.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
We start this part with this question: who are those charged with authority? All the Shiite commentators have the same attitude on this matter, that the purpose of the phrase "ulil amr" in Arabic term mentioned in this verse is the immaculate imams, to whom the physical and spiritual leadership of the Islamic society, consisting of all affairs of life, have been given from the side of Allah and his apostle, and it does not conclude any other than them. This meaning is said according to the contents of 33 authentic traditions cited in At-Tafsir al-Burhan, that is famous commentary book, second edition. During some episode of today's special, we speak about the characteristics of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. And we found that our deeds must be merely for the pleasure of Allah, like Imam Ali. The commander of the faithful, Ali ibn Abi Talib, tried to follow the example of the Holy Prophet of Islam in his personal and social life, both as an individual and as a ruler. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny is the perfect servant Allah. Because Imam Ali followed the example of the Holy Prophet, the following verses were revealed to express his characteristics. Surely the righteous should drink of a cup, the admixture of which is camphor, a fountain from which the servant of Allah shall drink. They make it to follow a goodly following forth. They fulfill vows and fear a day, the evil of which shall be spreading far and wide. And they give food out of love for him to the poor and the captive. We only feed you for Allah's sake. We desire from you neither reward nor thanks. Truly, we fear from our Lord a stern, distressful day.
So approachable.
You know, there was a man by the name of Dhirar. Dhirar was one of the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And Dhirar was in Syria. He was in Damascus in the court of Muawiyah. Muawiyah knew that Dhirar, this was after the death of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He knew that Dhirar was a friend of Ali. So Muawiyah, he says, Ya Dhirar, sifli Ali ibn Abi Talib. Oh, Dhirar, describe Ali ibn Abi Talib. Dhirar says, "Afini an dhalik," that please excuse me from describing him. Dhirar didn't know, is this a trap? He doesn't know what to do. Muawiyah threatens him. He says, no, I am the Khalifa. I've given you an order. I want you to describe Ali ibn Abi Talib. He describes the Imam, and one of the things that he says, it's a very beautiful description. He says, كَانَ فِينَا كَأَحَدِنَا. The Imam alayhi salam, despite his immense knowledge, Dharar says, كَانَ فِينَا كَأَحَدِنَا. That when he was with us, he was one of us. He didn't distinguish himself. He would sit with us. He would talk with us. يُجِيبُنَا إِذَا سَأَلْنَا. When we would ask him questions, he never made us feel stupid. We would ask and he would answer so gracefully. وَيُنْبِئُنَا إِذَا اسْتَنْبَأْنَا. When we would ask him about anything, he would respond to us. And then, he says, وَنَحْنُ وَاللَّهِ مَعَ قُرْبِهِ مِنَّا لَا نَكَادُ نُكَلِّمُهُ هَيْبَةً لَهُ. Dharar says, even though we felt so close to him, sometimes it would be difficult for us to speak to him because of how much we revered him. You know, when you're sitting in the presence of a great personality, no matter how much they try to humble themselves, it's still difficult to carry a conversation with them.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
You want to know about life lessons from Nahjul Balagha? This is one. Always be open to new ideas. This is one of the lessons from Imam Ali's life. Imam Ali said, among all the people most detested before Allah are two persons. One who is devoted to himself, he did not try to find the reality of knowledge. The other man is he who has picked up ignorance. Whatever he does not know, he does not regard it worth knowing. Always try to gain more knowledge. Refrain from being narrow-minded and ignorant. Stick to your own principle, but keep yourself open to improvement and constant development. That being said, don't get yourself into matters which don't concern you.
Ali, 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 Haydar, Haydar, Haydar. Ali, 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 Haydar, Haydar, Haydar.
And now, this is today's special and policy-making features in the mannerism of Imam Ali. He would not treat all his opponents the same. Dear brothers and sisters, you are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Another characteristic of that great Imam, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, was that he did not behave in the same way towards all of his opponents and enemies. He did not use the same method for all of them. He differentiated between different individuals and orientations. Ali, alayhi salam, stood firm against the faithless Khawarij. Of course, he stood up against their deviation, wrongdoings, and reliance on the outward aspects of religion. He stood against Muawiyah as well when they put the Holy Quran under spears. The commander of the faithful said, by Allah, this is a trick and deception. They do not believe in the Holy Quran. And when Khawarij confronted him with their reliance on the outward aspects of religion, they recited the Holy Quran in a plaintive and sad tone in front of the commander of the faithful, Hazrat Ali alayhi salam. He stood up against them.
Let us shed light, some light, on the humanity that we find in this amazing man, as it is captured by Nahj al-Balagha. The Peak of Eloquence, this powerful book, gives us small glimpses, just a few windows, into the humanity that the Imam alayhi salam brought forth to humanity. Today in the West, we see many people are concerned about human rights, about humanity. You will find the roots of human rights after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. You will find it in Nahj al-Balagha. You will find it in the system of the Imam's governance. There you shall find what human rights is. When you look at history and you examine history, you see that there was no leader besides the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who achieved success in implementing and observing human rights like Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. No one comes close to him. When you examine all of the leaders who have come throughout history till this very day, who comes close to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in his humanity, in his observance of human rights? No man came like him who was not impacted by any interest, personal interests, by any lobby groups, who was not biased. Only Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was that just leader whom no lobby group, no interest group could affect him, could penetrate his heart. This is Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. This is the end of this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And as you know, we spoke about the justice of Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Inshallah, we meet you soon on the next episode. And till then, fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
حيدار 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 يا حيدار 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 يا حيدار 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 يا حيدار
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. We'll be right back. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.